Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is on the move. He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has good things to say to those who love him, who trust him, who seek him out. And I love the Lord, my God and King. He's working on our behalf in every way you can possibly imagine. He's looking for those who will operate in faith. Now, I want to explain something. The enemy tries to taint whatever is good and acceptable and blessed of God. Faith is not just an ability to get what you desire out of God. Faith is looking to God. Faith is living with a single eye on the Lord. No matter what problem comes your way, faith looks to the Lord and is not distracted. Faith is absolutely taking God at his word. It does not turn God into Santa Claus. Faith is motivated by love, always. David knew that Goliath was against Israel and against God and the purpose of God. He could not see Goliath as a giant or even as a threat at all. He had faith and no doubt in his heart. He saw Goliath as a dead man talking and as a dead man walking, because he saw God, because he was in his presence, because he learned who he is. David learned faith as he worshiped God, as he heard the word of God. His heart was towards God. He didn't have to go get in faith because he lived that way. Faith is current. It's always presently looking at the Lord. And that's a very important, no matter what problem we have in life. And we can have some challenging problems. But the way to kill our problems is to look to the Lord. And you won't see the enemy as any kind of threat. You'll see him as smoke, as dust. You won't see him as a lion with teeth. He never has enough. He's like a roaring lion with no teeth. He's like an archer without arrows. In Revelation, he had a bow. He had no arrows. There's no substance to him. There's no foundation with him. His foundation is the deception he uses against people who have foundation. People that God are trying to bless, they have something. And Satan he swindles them into yielding to him. And whatever they have belongs to him. If he can control them, he can control their finances. He can control their strength. If there's a great strong man, you know, he has physical strength. But if Satan get his mind, he can turn him into a murderer. And that's how it works. That's why we can't allow him. That's why we have authority over him, because we don't supposed to allow him to take any foothold in our lives. He works where we're not looking. And he's desperately trying to destroy our lives. He's desperately trying to destroy our lives. Desperately. And so many people live as if the enemy is not a threat. He is. But it's through deception and bad training, bad teaching. For every truth, he tries to counter it with some form of lie, deception, deceit. fear, or some kind of worry, something that to get us off balance. But the Lord is looking for those of faith, people that will look to him and take him at his word and not be distracted by this world. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger they will not follow." And the voice of a stranger came in many forms before I became a Christian. Now, my parents, I believed on Jesus because Jesus died for me. And they taught me that. My cousin taught me that. He explained it to me. But I heard about Muhammad and the Muslim movement. And it didn't sound right. One of my friends tried to get me to go to a Mason meeting. I said, "What is it? It's a secret." That didn't sound right either. Because God don't do secrets. He just don't reveal his plan to his enemy. And then he tell them what he gonna do, but they don't know the whole part of it. You know, in Isaiah 53, it said that by his stripes we're healed, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It was right there written in plain sight that Jesus was going to lay down his life for ours. But the enemy couldn't figure it out. Not with his logic. He couldn't figure it out. Because in Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians 2, it said if they had known, they wouldn't have killed him. They wouldn't have tried to have him killed. But they didn't know. The enemy couldn't figure out the whole plan of God, even though God revealed it in plain sight. God is up front in all that he does. Another friend of mine was a Jehovah's Witness. And they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if he's not the Son of God, you have no salvation. Then they say if he didn't rise again, you still don't have salvation. He had to die in our place. His blood was shed for us. We have to believe that. And then he died again. He rose from the dead. You have to believe that. And the foundational truths that make us clean in God's eyes and righteous, perfectly righteous, they believe the countermeasure instead. So they are doomed because they don't believe on Jesus Christ. And when people try, and you know, you have friends in school who they come from everywhere. They do all kind of things. Their parents believe wrong and they believe wrong too. But that didn't sit well with me. And neither did any other doctrine that God couldn't sanction. I didn't hear those voices. And some of the people who introduced it were close to me. I loved them. Saw them every day, played with them, friends. And you have to understand that when people go astray, they're in deception. But when you're looking at the Lord, you're looking for his voice. You value his voice. You value what he has to say. And a stranger, I wasn't even saved yet. But I said, "Nah, that don't sound right." And even in denominational churches such as Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, sometimes they don't teach all there is about the Holy Spirit. I want it, if it's in the Bible, it's true, it's pure, it's holy. Why don't we teach about it? That was my that was my question. And I wanted to learn about it. I went to a holiness church, Pentecostal church. And they got into their own form of mischief as well. They had something right, but not everything. So as I learned from the Lord, as I learned to hear his voice, And I studied his word. I longed after him. That's faith. Faith looks to God. I kept looking to God. I kept looking to him. What is he ordaining? What is he saying? Why? I want more of him. Because that's the foundation that I can build my life on. I can't build my life on a false doctrine that started, that Satan started. He's a stranger. He's not like God. He's low class. He's lying to me. He hates me. God loves me. God doesn't lie to me. God will not do you wrong. And when I had problems because of attacks of Satan and things I didn't know yet, you know, you have problems from lack of knowledge. So if you're not learning, you're setting yourself up to have unnecessary problems. You won't know how to fix it. The only way to learn these things is to see God's face. Some things you're going to see in his words. Some things you're going to see in his word. Some things you will see plainly in his word. And there are many things you have to seek him in order to receive the training that he's trying to give you. Because your mind don't go that way. You hadn't been introduced to that kind of truth yet. But it's still true and it's still of God. And that's just how it is. The word said we know in part. Now this is the other part, half of that. Other people, what they see plainly, you may not see plainly. And what you see plainly, they may see plainly. I mean, what you see plainly, they may not see plainly. Or they may not see it in fullness. Sometimes what we see, we don't see the full measure of it. The word is, our faith works according to the measure of how we measure it. It'll be measured to us. That's the strength of your faith. That's the strength of your faith, the way you measure it. Some people see what you see, but they see it greater than you see it. Like Kenneth Hagin. He taught a series on the authority of the believer. Now, Chris Lucas, a friend of mine and co-worker from at Food Giant, he told me, he was the first person to tell me I had authority over Satan that I remember. Now, I know my dad read how Jesus took authority over Satan, but he is the first person I remember to explain to me that because you're a Christian, you have authority over Satan. And it made sense. And I studied the scriptures, and I do. He showed me the scriptures, and I studied them. Same scriptures Kenneth Hagin taught in the series. But Kenneth Hagin was just like me. He knew the scriptures, and then the angel appeared to him and told him, showed him about his authority. Jesus appeared to him, and he had, in the series, he talked about visions he had. And the Lord taught him about his authority. Then he taught me. He saw it in a greater way. And then I received what he said in a greater way. And I was able to operate in my authority. Sometimes there are people out there that see plainly what you do not. Now, everybody who get in pride, they get offended when people try to show them more. If their focus is on pride, then they don't want anybody to show them something in a greater way than they can. That's how pride works. Pride looks within. I got to be the best. I'm in charge. I'm preeminent. I'm successful. Nobody's better. I know it's out there. I run into it too much. It's out there. People think that way by default. But somebody that they perceive as greater and understood to be more advanced than them, that's fine. They'll listen to them. But not somebody that they... Now, it doesn't work that way, though. Whoever see God's word, they see it the way they see it. And they're all ages. They're all races. They're different genders. They're male, female. They see it. You line some, you know, God gave us this example with the Gospels. Jesus said statements. Four men heard it. Four men wrote about it from their perspective. I'm going to say that again. Jesus said statements. Four men heard it and wrote about it from their perception and guided by the Holy Spirit. All of it's true. And sometimes to get the whole story, you have to look at all of their state, the way that they reveal Jesus' statement and understand that Jesus said all of it. In all four cases, he said everything described. Some people just didn't pick up on other things because of the way they thought and the measure of their faith. So we're the same way. We're no different. Now that example is there. They didn't have identical renditions of what Jesus said. In some ways they were identical. They were all true. But their rendition was different. Some included more information than others. Some included different information that others caught. But they were all of faith, and it was all holy, and it's still God's word, and it was still guided by the Holy Spirit. People see the Holy Spirit differently. People receive him differently. Some people focus on how they feel in the presence of God. Some people focus on his wisdom. Some people focus on his knowledge. Some people focus on his counsel. Some people focus on his love. And when they talk about it, they talk about what was the most important thing to them. That's why we need each other. That's why Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because when we take time and dialogue with each other, we see that iron sharpens iron. We learn things that we don't always know. On the Snap-on truck, I bought the tool truck comes to the shop. I bought a knife sharpener. Now, the knives are made of iron and steel, and there's a knife sharpener is too. It has two metal blades. It's very sharp, and when you rub your edge across it, it has a V pattern, and it sharpens the iron. Iron sharpening iron. Steel sharpening steel. It's hardened. It lasts for years, and it will put a real good edge on your blade. So it is with people, because we all see things the way we see them in the Word of God. Some are able to measure it bigger. The same revelation that you can receive, they receive it. They can measure it bigger or differently. Now, you may need to talk to them, and you'll be able to measure it like they do. And out of the conversation, they will increase as well. There are people who are taught about authority, for instance, but they never imagine that they can stop a gunfight. They can keep people from dying. So when the gunfights would happen in the neighborhood I lived in the Kingston area, Kingston Woodlawn area, I said, I can't lose. Nobody ever died after I began to take authority over Satan when there was trouble brewing. Sometimes they would start an argument. I would hear the fussing escalating before the gunshots. And I'd say, Satan, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody. And then sometimes they would shoot after I said that, but they miss each other. Sometimes I would be woke up by the gunshots, and I would immediately tell Satan he couldn't kill anybody or hurt anybody, and they still didn't get hurt or killed. It happened. It worked every time. They had a gunfight every other weekend. Right there on my street, not just where in my neighborhood, but on my street. Some fights were in the distance, and some was right outside my house. I'm not lying. I would always call 911. So they have a record of my telephone number back then. And that, because every time I call, I had taken authority over Satan after 1989. Now, As we go forward in the Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're not limited. The word never limits us. The word gives us victory and only victory. But there are no limitations in Christ. We put the cap on it. I once asked the Lord about this, you know, the power that works in us. Because one scripture says that it's according to the power that works in us. Now, another scripture says the way we measure to be measured back to us. And then the Lord talked about the power that works in us. I said, Lord, what is the power that works in us? Because when you ask the Lord something, he can explain it easy. The Lord once said, he told me something in being, I've talked about that before, but just pausing. Taking a little side road. The Lord taught me something about business. And I said, it was going to really help me out. Help me avoid a lot of trouble. I said, Lord, you knew I needed that a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Or when he leans to his own understanding, he can't learn the ways of the Father. He explained those things to me. So when I have any kind of concern, anything I'm curious about, if I'm slightly curious, I ask the Lord this, just to see what he'll say. Because his wisdom is always perfect. So that's what I did about the power that works in you. What is the power that works in us? He said, that's the sum, S-U-M, that's the sum of what you believe. You take faith, the word of God, that you receive, the way you measure it, it's got to be measured to you. And then you calculate in your doubts and your fears, forms of unbelief, and against your, you know, whatever you believe in your heart, you sum it all up. That's the strength of your faith. And you have to get rid of doubt before the faith that you have will work. You sum up everything that you believe. That's the strength of your faith. And you can get some things done. And there are some things you have the ability to believe and not doubt. While there are other things you believe it and you doubt it. You believe God's word, ultimately. But then there are doubts where you can't see it happening in your case. But when you get to the point where you see the problem defeated according to the word of God, that's when God can move on your behalf. Now, there are some people, they have a measure of faith, but it's not enough to destroy their doubts. Or they're not measuring the word big enough, but they still have faith. There's a mustard seed. They can still get the job done. But that's when we start looking to God, and he can help our faith. That is a gift of faith. If you are in an emergency, like I was, I got hit on a motorcycle. I was on the freeway sliding down I-59 before it meets I-20. I was sliding down. I got on the center point exit and a car hit me. I'm sliding down the freeway on the pavement. All I could say was Jesus. And then I said it again, Jesus. And I knew that I would live and not be broke up. While I was still sliding down the freeway, the Lord helped my faith. And then I almost got ran over by a car. I was thrown from in front of a car that didn't slow down. The man that hit me, he spun out of control and he saw the whole thing. His car was facing me after I fell off, after I got knocked off the motorcycle. He stopped before I did. I was still sliding. Now, what I'm saying is, the gift of faith, as long as your faith is on, the Lord can give you faith. He can cause you he can give you a gift of faith and you can believe and then he can work. See, God has rules. He can't break his rules. He responds to us. We have to be in faith, and then he can intervene. That's why he wake you up at night sometime. That's why he show us visions of people so we can pray for them. So he can help them. Because he does things legal. He doesn't do illegal things. He can't come and just take authority for you. You have to do it. He gave you grace, sufficient grace for you to do it. And then you have brothers and sisters. If you're in a situation, he can call some, he can have somebody else to pray for you that can believe, that's not emotionally attached. They may pray in the Holy Spirit without really knowing what they're praying for. And sometimes, like when I interceded, the Lord woke me up and I was praying. I knew to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I prayed till I started laughing. Then I had a dream about my friend that had just died and went to heaven. The enemy was trying to take him out. He died, but he was trying to take him to hell, but he couldn't take him to hell because he believed on Jesus in time. All these things happen because God helps our faith. And he helped Lucky. That was his name. Ironically, he helped him. He's in heaven. I saw it. I know where he went. Went to work and we found out he died. And another friend of mine had a very similar dream to mine, suggesting the same thing. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, which is faith. And when we're in faith, then the Lord can move. When we're not in faith, God is limited in our lives. And he doesn't need to be limited in our lives. He needs to be active in our lives, and our faith allows him to do so. Now, the Lord is looking for faith because faith looks to God. They are the only people that God can take out of here alive. Salvation is by faith. We receive grace. We believe it. We believe God's word. It's a grace to us. Salvation is a grace to us. We believe it by our faith, and then we have it. We believe it before we see the final result. We act on the knowledge of God and not the rudiments of this world, the persuasion of this world, the structure of this world. We don't act on the rudiments of this world. We act on God's word. But taking God at his word helps steer us away from all forms of deception. All forms. The lies just won't sit right with you when people lie to you. But when people desire something that Satan's got, then his deception is appealing. And sometimes you have to start learning God's word to get rid of false desires. We have false desires sometimes. And that's where the enemy gets a foothold in our lives. And the only way to counter that is to receive the truth of God's word. And if you can do that, you can do it all. The Lord can't let sin into heaven, and he's not. If people attach themselves to sin, they're just not going to go. But faith will help us stay pure. Faith helps us be pure like God. We want to be pure like God. We want to obey him. And we want to know him. We have a strong desire to know him. Because we're looking to him. Faith is the reason we're pure in the first place. Faith is the reason we receive the good news, the blood of Jesus that washed our sins away. And we live by faith. And faith comes from hearing God's word and receiving it. If we receive it in our hearts, it grows in us. It becomes faith, and we speak it and release it in this world, and we have the reality of it, even unto salvation. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.